Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley. With me again today is CAM manager Josh Grind. Josh, thanks for being here.
Hey, PJ. Excited today. We've got some guests that we know really well and have some topics that I think will be interesting for everybody, so I'm excited.
Absolutely. And once again, our Competition Archery Media Podcast is brought to you by our platinum sponsors. We've got Hoyt, Matthews, PSE, Elite Archery, Black Eagle Arrows, and True Ball and Excel. And with us today, this is our first time, Josh, with two remote guests, but we've got Brady Ellison and Casey Caulfield. Folks, thanks for being here today.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Brady, you're obviously at home in Arizona, and Casey, why don't you tell us about where you are sitting right now?
I'm sitting in what I call my she shed. It is a shed, and it has a couple of windows for us to shoot out of, and we can get to 70 meters. And yeah, it's just like a nice little room that I have to myself at the moment, just because everybody's social distancing and all that. So yeah, I've just been practicing in here for the past couple of months, and it's been nice.
Yeah, so that was your dad had that set up because normally our Pennsylvania winters, it would be pretty difficult for you to get any outdoor practice.
Yeah, lots of snow, gets windy and cold, so it's nice to have this in here. I have like a heater in the back. It's nice and warm. So, yeah.
Awesome. Brady, tell us what the weather is like where you're at down there in Arizona.
It's actually pretty bearable right now. It's supposed to be 75 all week. And a little wind. I felt Casey's pain Friday. We had a little cold front come through, and it was like 50 degrees, and it snowed in the mountains.
It's 40 here.
So obviously, folks, last week we got, or within the last 2 weeks, we got the word Olympics are postponed till 2021. What was your initial reaction? We'll start with Brady. When you heard it was not happening this year,
relief. Honestly, we had so much going on, so many things shutting down, and everything from the IOC or the IOC was still in that. You know, we're going to Tokyo. Nothing is changing. We don't see any reason to change. And the whole entire world is shut down. We don't know for how long, and we still had to train, right?
Yeah.
And so it was just this giant thing of like, okay, well, the games are still going on, but we're waiting for them to cancel because, you know, Australia's pulled out, Canada's pulled out, you know, some of the U.S. delegations were thinking about pulling out. Italy had pulled out. So it's like, okay, are we going to have this games with only half the countries?
Yeah.
Like, why are they not talking about delaying? Is Tokyo going to be the first and only tournament that we shoot this year?
All right.
So it's like, you know, for me, it was just like that waiting sucked because you're training your butt off and then you're trying to figure out, well, you know, is there going to be any type of competition before we go to the games, or is everyone going to see each other for the first time?
Yeah.
You know, like we knew that if Berlin didn't go, that the men would have a team, but the women would not. And then we also knew that if that was going to happen, then we probably weren't going to have the rest of our trials. Mm. And so it was kind of like just a toss up type of deal, right? So as soon as they delayed it a year, like I was immediately like, okay, good. Like we're going to be delayed a year. Educated guess that it's going to go around the same time as the current games. And now we can train. Now we can plan. There's a lot of logistics that we have to figure out, of course, with this. The whole entire world does. You know, there's going to be some funding issues. I don't know if you saw the article that I think ESPN did or something like that about how much NGBs are going to lose and the USOC, the USOPC is going to lose funding-wise for not having the games this year. So next year is going to be rough on everybody.
Hmm.
But health and safety first. So I was happy to, once they made the decision, I was pretty happy actually, because now we have another year to train to get better, but we could just kind of let all this settle down. And, you know, our team is going to get better now because now everybody will have the opportunity to train. Whereas, you know, with most of the country shut down and archery range closed, unless you have a range in your backyard, which people who live in the city don't, who had to travel to a range, they couldn't practice. So even our trials were not going to be at the level that they should have been. So I was pretty relieved. I was upset for about a half hour, but once I got to thinking about it, I think that we're going to be better off.
Right. Casey, how about you with this being Brady? Obviously, this would have been his fourth Olympics. Casey, this, you know, you're trying for your first. What were your thoughts as soon as you heard postponed?
Yeah. So I would be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed or sad that the games aren't going to be this summer. But because I've been working really hard. I've been shooting the best scores I ever have. So it's just hard to know like that. At my prime right now, I'm not going to be able to go. But then I like sat back and thought about it, and just seeing the improvement I've made from last year to this year is huge. So having a whole another year to prepare, I'm actually excited because I think I'm going to be shooting a lot better even than like right now, even though I've been improving a lot. So, but yeah, at first I was definitely a little sad, just because I was really looking forward to it. But
yeah,
it's always in the best interest for the safety and health of all the athletes, and I definitely want all the countries to be there. So I'm overall glad that they made the decision to postpone it till the summer of 2021.
The U.S. had one woman's spot secured. You know, they would have sent the men's team, but they had at least one woman's spot that you and Brady earned for the mixed team. And obviously you were the points leader for that, but I would imagine, Casey, you probably would rather the women send a full team.
Yes, I definitely am looking to – it was going to be Berlin this year, but definitely wanting to qualify that team spot to have a full team go. That would really mean the world to me, just to have, like, a really strong three women up there on that stage. So yeah. I'm glad that we'll have more time to prepare for that.
One of the really neat things with world archery, the Olympic archery, you know, FIDA – and there is that team dynamic where a lot of archery, we see it as just the individual competitors. But Casey, I know you received a phone call the day that the trials were canceled or the Olympics were canceled, postponed. Tell us about that, because I think that speaks to the team dynamic that you guys have representing USA.
Yeah, I talked to Dick Tone that day, and he said to kind of just keep working as hard as I am, and he's been helping me a lot over the past couple of years. So it was good to hear from him to make sure that, like, he was still he still believed that I could work hard and get there. But I also heard from Brady and Toya that day. They texted me and said to keep my head up and keep working as hard or even harder than I am right now.
I thought that's a really neat, Brady, a three-time Olympian, reaching out to you in the middle of that news when you're struggling. Just, I thought, man, that. It's cool to be a part of a team like that.
And this, I guess we should mention, I mean, this would have been the first Olympics with the mixed team in the medal rounds. Brady, I'm sure you were looking forward to that. That would potentially give you the potential for three medals at an Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, it gives everyone on the team a shot for an extra medal that none of us have gotten for it. I think it's kind of cool because it's going to make all of us push within the team to try to be the people that shoot in the mixed team. And, you know, it's exciting. And the U.S. has done really well in the mixed teams. And I do think that we have a strong shot at winning it or at least getting on that podium. So I think just, you know, that extra year, you know, we're going to get better. Some other countries are going to get better, but I think, you know, like Korea, they're already good. You know, they're already at the same level that they almost always are, and their scores improve every year a little bit. But you all, you know, giving them an extra year, they're not going to be a ton better than they already are. you know, they're going to have the same jump that the rest of the world has percentage-wise.
Right.
Where I think that we have a lot more room for improvement on our team to be able to step up and push them again.
Yeah,
that's great. So when you're, I mean, you hear this in elite sports, regardless if it's archery, baseball, basketball, football, track, people want to peak at just the right time. And so you're going into 2020 expecting to be at the Olympics and to peak at the right time. How does training change now that you are looking for a peak sometime next year?
Well, I think now, like, you know, Arizona just did a shelter in place. It's going to be effective starting 5 p.m. today. And, you know, so we're kind of joining the rest of the places. And, you know, in all honesty, like, Toy and I are still shooting right now, but it's not 2,000 arrows a week. I've kind of switched from, you know, shooting all day to doing a little bit more cardio, doing a little bit more in the gym. I'm going to use this next month or two to really just try to build a stronger base body-wise, and then get back into it heavy once we know when competitions are. I'm still guessing that, you know, Gator Cup is probably a 50-50 on whether we get to go or not. It's still, you know, 7 weeks away. A lot can change in that time period, but Florida, you know, they have roadblocks on a couple of states right now and blocks from certain hotbeds. So, you know, I don't know how that's going to look. California shelter in place, so that's SoCal the third week in June or the second week in June. So unless something changes there, you know, no one's allowed to go there. So right now I'm just kind of, we're playing it by ear. I'm still staying in shooting shape, but my focus is a little bit different, and the wife and I are taking time to kind of just go do things. We climbed into some Indian ruins yesterday, which was nice. Pretty fun. And then the bass are starting to bite, the fish are starting to spawn, the carp are starting to be up. So taking some half days. Yeah. But once we know the season is going to start up, I have a feeling that, you know, it may be July when we start to compete again. And then it's going to be July into October, and then you roll into indoor season, and then you roll right into outdoor season trials in the game, so we're not going to get a break. So I'm taking a little bit of a slower approach right now until we start competing again, because it's going to be a 12-month haul almost.
Right. So, Casey, you're 16. So you don't have the Olympics. You're till next summer. You don't have school. I know you and the fierce competitor you are. How are you moderating your practice and what you're shooting and how much you're shooting?
Yeah, so right now I'm practicing about the same, maybe a little less than I usually would. I've been working on this shed a lot, so that's probably where most of my time outside of archery is gone. But yeah, I'm still trying to shoot the same amount of arrows about each day. And I have my main coach, Heather File, she's out on maternity leave right now. So I'm working with Brian Brady at the academy, and we've been having lessons every day, just working on certain drills. Like yesterday we did aiming off drills. I think today we're going to do some quicker drills, and just trying to keep up and fill in the holes where they need it.
Great. And what are you doing outside of archery besides your she shed?
I've been recently doing some puppy searching. Recently my other dog, she passed away, so we're looking for another one. And I hope my mom listens to this because she still needs some convincing. But yeah, so I'd say puppy searching would be the other thing to do, because I can't really go anywhere because they won't let us leave our houses. Right. And I started driving, and so I just go out on some roads and just practice that while I can and while I'm not traveling. So.
Well, you need to tell your mom that Brady has water dogs. And so yeah. since he has water dogs, you should be allowed to have a dog.
Right. Yeah, right. Twisting your arm in public, that's always good.
What kind of dog are you looking for, Casey?
I don't know. I really want, like, a German Shepherd. They're very good dogs. But I also kind of want, like, I'm not saying that German Shepherds aren't cute, but, like, I really want, like, a little, like, cute dog, like, that I can just like walk around with. And yeah, my past dog, she was like kind of bigger, so I want like a little dog.
Yeah, Toya's in the same boat. Toya and I, we're not getting a dog. I want a dog. I've wanted a dog forever, but she says that it would be irresponsible for two people to travel as much as we have to get a dog at this point. And I know that sounds like a voice of reason, but I don't agree.
The voice of reason usually isn't the best one. It's a killjoy.
But we're looking at small beagles, like trying to find a breeder that has a little bit smaller beagles, or like the old English pocket beagles, which I don't know if a beagle that's 3 pounds is going to do anything, but they're still cute.
That's awesome. Well, how about let's hear from the two of you when you shot together. I can't remember the last competition where you were the mixed team. How do you two like shooting with each other? Yeah, which tournament was it, Casey?
Lima, I believe.
Lima, okay. How is it for you two shooting with each other? I guess, Casey, you can go first.
Do you want to start?
Yeah, I can start. Go on. You know, Casey's the new girl on the team, right? And she has so much energy and, like, so much fire and just, like, all right, we're going to go out there and we're going to win. And she has so much excitement for the matches. Whereas a lot of the other people, you know, that we've been shooting on tour for quite a while now, like we still have the excitement and we still have the drive, but it's not like that fresh blood syndrome, you know, where it's like, it's kind of like, all right, let's go do this. And it's, I think it's kind of nice because it pushes the whole entire team, because, you know, I think a lot of the team kind of just gets complacent on like, we're just going to shoot and the mixed team is going to be who it is. And then Casey comes out there and it's like, no, I want to be on the mixed team. I'm going to shoot really hard. And everyone else is like, well, maybe we should all, you know, try to shoot a little bit better score and I'll try to compete within the team that go try to get on that mixed team. And then, you know, the only thing with Casey is I have to rein her in a little bit in the mixed teams, because she gets, you know, it's just a little bit of an experience where, you know, if one bad shot happens, you know, to just try to be like, hey, it's okay. We're playing set system. It didn't cost us anything. And then she goes and she like shoots 6 tens in a row and makes me look bad. So, you know, it's really not a problem, but you know, it's fun for me because it's just kind of that fresh blood and trying to, you know, learn how to shoot with me with a new shooter. And learning like the new team dynamic that needs to happen. And, you know, we shot in 2 team rounds this year, Casey, I believe.
3, I believe, the Tokyo Test Event, Peru, and Colombia.
Oh, yeah, we shot in Tokyo, too. Tokyo was a tough tournament. But, you know, we medaled in 2 of them. We almost beat Korea, and then we won Pan Am, so that's good.
So, Casey, how about for you? I mean, you're up there, as Brady said, new kid on the team, and here you are with 3-time Olympian.
Yeah, there's definitely some pressure shooting mixed team with Brady, because, you know, it's Brady. Like, he's, I'd say, like, one of the most popular, if the most popular archer out there right now. So definitely going into this past year outdoors, I was kind of like, I don't want to be like too timid. I still want to talk. I don't want to act like a robot. Like, I still like wanted to be like a person as much as like a teammate. So but yeah, he's very considerate. He just wants his teammate to be like comfortable, like, and not feel nervous, or he like talks and makes sure that everything is okay. Like, we switched up order a couple times, tried different things, and yeah, he keeps competitions light and funny, and
There's, I would imagine for you, Casey, there's 2 opposing pressures there. One in that, you know, you're up there, it's new, you want to do well. And then you're shooting with Brady, who, you know, that, I mean, for people, that could probably be intimidating. You're shooting with Brady Ellison. How do you manage those emotions when you come out on the stage and it's time to shoot?
So, like, at Columbia, I had, like, a hard time sometimes because it was my first, like, international competition. And I was definitely nervous because I was just scared I would make a mistake and let him down. But he said that we win as a team, we lose as a team. And I, like, have remembered that ever since, because it kind of just took the pressure off and made me focus on shooting a good shot rather than, trying to hold up my end of what I thought was two parts, but it's like a whole team dynamic.
Yeah. Is that, and I guess for me, I don't know this, is the team system. So you guys shoot as a team. Do you ever get to practice that? Like shooting as a team?
Not really outside of competitions. I mean, because we live so far apart and I only really see him at camps and competitions. So it kind of really depends. Like for World Cups, we'll practice the day before if we know like already from qualifications that we'll be shooting together, but outside of that, it's not really possible for us to practice together.
Is it even important, Brady, to practice as a team? Does that even matter?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there's a couple of tournaments that we can kind of practice at, but the biggest thing is, you know, like trying to get everyone together for those camps or when we are together, to try to shoot it a little bit. We treat the Olympic team a lot different than the World Cup teams. So as soon as we start having our Olympic camps and the team is a little bit more selected, we'll all shoot mixed teams. We'll figure out maybe who the best team is, dynamics, and who kind of meshes the best together, and try a bunch of different things there. Mixed teams is a little bit easier team dynamic than the three people teams. Generally, you don't have time issues on mixed teams. Whereas on the three people squads, timing is a little bit different issue. So yeah, we need to practice it more. But generally the Olympic team does a good job. World Championships teams do okay. But on the World Cup, it's still kind of a, you know, an individual mindset.
Yeah. I guess I should ask as well, we talked about the delay and everything. Both of you were the points leaders for the U.S. teams. Do you keep those points? Are we moving forward from here? Or do you go back to zero and we start over again?
That's still all being discussed. We have to see what is allowed under Ted Stevens Act. Have to get feedback from the USOPC on what they want and what they feel is also the best. We've also sent out questionnaires and surveys to all the athletes asking them what they want, whether they want to keep the top 16 and push trials back to 2021, the same schedule as we had it this year, to completely restart trials, or to keep the top 16 with no points and just move forward in the next two trials. And everyone has put in their input on that. And then, you know, we're just kind of waiting and seeing. We'll have, since we have a little bit of time now, we'll make sure to just have a lot of conversations with everyone in the top 16 on both sides, and then see kind of, it's going to be whatever the general consensus is and what the most people want. And then we'll also have phone calls within the AAC to see what the general consensus is going to be. And then coaching staff and high performance and the USOPC high performance, and kind of just make a really educated guess on what the athletes want and what we're allowed to do legally, and to see. I mean, the hard thing with this whole entire COVID situation is really, if you look at it, my understanding is no one is set up for something like this.
Right.
Governments, world economy, like there are no procedures. There's no things. And the way we have things set up didn't help in this situation for anything, right? And so trying to figure out how to go through red tape, go around it, do what we have to do so it's fair for everybody, is there's just a lot of process that is involved. And you know, the USOP was able to kind of change some things so we could change trials on the fly if we had to, but it's still timelines, right? Things still take a while. And So now we have a little bit of time, and we'll just, you know, make sure that we do what all the athletes are comfortable doing, or most of the athletes are comfortable doing.
Yeah. Casey, how about talking about, so you are 16, you're in high school, you were preparing for a big travel season here coming up. Give us an update on where that stands with schooling. Obviously, the travel, we don't know what's going to happen there, but you had your schooling set up for travel.
Yeah, so right now I'm doing my spring semester online, so I had prepared to like travel and do my schoolwork while I was gone. And I'm still doing that right now, so nothing has really majorly changed for me. But as far as looking into the future, I was thinking about trying to do more in school this next year and maybe back off from the indoor World Series. But now with the Olympics being in 2021, I'll probably keep doing the indoor series just to keep that tournament callous and stay in that mindset of shooting qualification matches and finals. So it definitely changed a little bit, but overall I'm still happy with how they're dealing with it.
Tell me what tournament callous means.
So like that's my like phrase for shooting a lot of competitions and just getting used to like the pressure of it, the mentality of it, like what changes in your form, just stuff like that. So shooting a lot of competitions to get used to the patterns that happen during those competitions.
This is somewhat serious, right? Like this COVID stuff isn't a joke. Like at first, you know, everyone was kind of like, oh, you know, it's not as bad as the flu. And, you know, like I felt like there was a lot of people that weren't really paying attention or listening. And like, it's time for everyone to step up and do their part. Yeah. Like, you know, like we need to try to do, everyone has a job individually right now, as bad as it sucks, to like try to help stop this thing. Because like, you know, our economy is being destroyed. The world economy is being destroyed. Like if you look across Europe, you know, cases are just everywhere, right? It's not good. And so like, just, you know, we need to take this serious, and we need to, you know, do the best that we can to follow guidelines, social distancing, and it sucks. But, you know, we have social media to stay in contact. We have the technology to, you know, stay in touch with family and friends. And, you know, we just kind of need to ride this out, and hopefully it's only another month or two. But, you know, if people stop listening, and, you know, all those, the people that were on spring break and stuff like that just weren't following guidelines, like, you know, all those people, like, put the rest of everyone in danger. And that's just something that I think as individuals, I would like to say that, you know, we need to kind of step up and do this, and it's going to suck. It already sucks. Yeah. But, you know, just kind of stay the course for another month or two.
Sure. How, with that, Casey, tell us how that is for a 16-year-old girl in high school to have social distancing. I mean, I imagine you folks are.
Yeah, it's kind of weird not seeing my friends. Like, I haven't really talked to anybody other than my family for like a week. Well, in person. So definitely different, like not seeing all my JOAD friends, and like we don't have JOAD anymore. So
right.
I really haven't seen anybody other than Brian at the shop, which is also my neighbor. So like he's still allowed to like leave because he lives right next to the shop. But yeah, it's definitely been weird not seeing.
So are you and your brother Connor, are you guys better friends now, would you say?
I mean, yeah, it's not bad. Like, I'll be shooting out in the shed, and I'll text him when I see a groundhog so he can come out and shoot it. Yeah. So, it's been fun. Like, it's cool having him home because he's going off to college soon. So, well, hopefully anyway, with this all going on. So, but yeah, it's good for us to both be home and kind of spend some time together.
That's great. Dude, so Brady, good. Toya, how is her family? Oh, yeah. You mentioned Europe there. Is she able to stay in touch with them? And what are things like over there?
Yeah, she's in contact with them all the time. And her family's doing pretty good. So Slovenia has been locked down for quite a while now. Shelter in place, not allowed to leave the house unless they're going to a grocery store or to go outside for physical activity. But I think they just recently put in place where they're not allowed to leave their counties. So they're locked down even inside of Slovenia. And people are still, you know, allowed to go hiking or for walks or something like that. But they're limiting people going into grocery stores. And, you know, you have to stand 6 feet apart throughout the whole entire store. And they kind of have it set up to where no one is touching each other. No one is doing anything. And I would say they're even a lot stricter than what we are here in a lot of places. And, but her parents are doing good so far. Everyone, her brother and, brother's girlfriend is all quarantining, you know, at their house. So they're all sitting there and we jump on FaceTime or something like that and talk to everyone. So we're still staying connected. They're still doing good, but listening from them, what they're hearing about Europe and Italy straight from Europe, it's actually pretty scary. You know, this is different and this isn't fun. And I'm really hoping that the hot weather, hopefully to come, you know, I think this is kind of weird to say, but you know, if global warming could kick in right about now and make everywhere hot and try to get this thing killed, then, you know, I think that would really help.
Well, we are super thankful during this time for the media and social media where we can stay connected. How can our viewers at home follow Brady Ellison? We'll start with you. And then, Casey, where can people follow you guys on social media?
So through this whole entire time, if anyone does follow me on Instagram, that's where my social media lives, is just Brady Ellison on Twitter. I'm going to start doing some lives and doing some different things, trying to post more through all of this. And then on Facebook, Brady and Toya Ellison, Toya posts a lot of stuff on there. And then I post a couple of things on there. So that's kind of our two places to watch. You can stay connected with Toya at Toya Ellison on Instagram. And, that kind of covers everything that we're doing.
Great. Casey, how about you?
So I am not so much of a frequent poster on social media, but during this time, just being at home, I'll try and keep up with that a little more. I have an Instagram and Facebook account. Facebook is just Casey Caulfield, and Instagram is CrazyCasey04. So,
Crazy Casey.
Keep
Crazy
up with Casey. Me on those. Yeah.
Great. I have one more question, just because I feel like if I don't ask, we're going to get somebody's going to comment. I have to mention Brady's epic hair. That's phenomenal. Are you working on that? Is that new style? How long is that going to grow?
So I don't know if you guys watch, there's a show called Haven, and there's a guy on there, Dwight. He's kind of a big lumberjack looking dude, and he has long hair. And it comes down. I told Toya that I might grow my hair out and do a hairstyle like him again. I haven't had long hair in a really long time, so it's debating right now. But this is my quarantine look.
Okay.
I think the wife mentions a couple of times a day that I need to do something.
I was going to say, I remember that her last year giving you the shave ordinance and posting some pictures of that.
He's going back to the Leo DiCaprio Revenant look there.
Yeah, she calls it the homeless look. I'm calling this the quarantine haircut.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, we'll see. I've always had kind of crazy hair, and you know, I think during this time, it's kind of fun for people to see something funny or do something like that. So when I got up this morning, my hair was all crazy, and she was like, you got to fix that. I was like, nah, we're going to let it roll.
Great. I told PJ this morning, I think during this quarantine time, I'm going to let the mullet grow. I've always wanted to grow a mullet, and this might be the time. Casey, I know you've got opinions on that.
Do it, Josh.
Yeah, there you go.
I am all for that.
Yes.
Brady, Casey, we certainly appreciate your time today.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for having us.
Thank you, and good luck this year.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Sure. Folks, that's the Competition Archery Media Podcast. You can find us wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Don't forget to go back through the library and check out older episodes. Thanks for joining us.